Ahoy, mateys! Welcome aboard the Shallows, the pod designed specifically for all you 10-team and Smart League managers out there. I'm your captain, Eric Hendrickson, alongside Chief Mate Carson Picard. Carson, how are the seas faring today?
It is increasingly likely, well, not increasingly likely, but it's increasingly important to me that the Field of Dreams game is coming up, and it is on my mind more and more each day. That is going to be next week. My Minnesota Twins are going to be in that, facing the Phillies. And every once in a while, I look in the distance to drive to Dyersville, and it's like it's speaking to me a little bit, Eric. It's speaking to me just a hair.
I think if you can go, that is just, I think, one of the coolest things that baseball has ever done.
It's, well, I'll tell you this. I looked at ticket prices a little bit before the show. They are out of my budget, but like the cheapest game, the cheapest one for the game on Thursday, it's about $700.
Oh.
And so I can't do that right now. You know, even if I rationalize it, it's a baseball game. Minorly, the St. Paul Saints are playing the Iowa Cubs the Tuesday before. So on the 11th, I think that is. And tickets there are a lot less. So I've thought about it. It's made the rounds in my mind.
Do it. Not $700. That's nuts.
That's a lot. I can't.
the minor league game.
Eric, how much would you pay for a novelty baseball game? I mean, the Yankees have played in the.
Yeah. They played in the first one.
Yeah, they played in the first one, the Field of Dreams game. But
for
what's the most money you would pay for a non playoff baseball ticket?
$250.
That's about right. I think I'm with you. I'll tell
I
you
think
what.
$700 is just.
It's. Ugh. I can't. It would be really cool. It'd be really cool, but I'm just not in the position where I can like burn that much.
Most people aren't.
There's some things. This is a long intro. I admit there's some things where I'm like, it is sort of blank check. Just like, yeah, I'll pay it. I went to a couple concerts last year where it was like, yeah, absolutely, I'll see that. I'm never gonna get this chance again. Sure, go. Important spiritually, but like for a Twins game, I know it's a Twins game in a cool place, but I know it's in a cornfield, but like I can watch baseball in a cornfield anytime.
That's how you know you're from the Midwest. On today's show, we have the Captain's Report and a segment called The Trading Post, because guess what? It's going to be our trade deadline extravaganza. It's in all caps. I got to, you know, that's about as loud as I can be without blowing out your ears, listeners, and blowing out my microphone to anybody on YouTube. And then we've got Breakout or Fake Out. These are guys who have been performing well so far here in the second half. But are they just faking us out, or is it a true breakout, a second half breakout? But before we officially leave port, we release a new episode every Friday. The audio version releases at 7 a.m. Eastern, wherever you get your podcasts, and the video version premieres on YouTube the same night at 8 p.m. Eastern as well. If you want to see our beautiful made-for-radio mugs, so be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Leave us a 5-star rating, a like, a thumbs up, a kind review, and don't forget, we're part of the Pitcherless Podcast Network. So check out the other pods we have available. There are new episodes out daily, and visit pitcherless.com for all the latest and greatest content published daily as well. Carson, you have any articles you're working on? I know you're on the First Pitch pod several days. You were on it all last week, if I recall. Anything cooking?
No. I can safely say things are on simmer right now. I've got some articles kicking around, but trust me, listeners, I will let you know. And I'll let you know, Eric, when I've got something ready to hit the burners.
And then we will dive deep from the shallows into that. But for now, we're going to take a quick break and come back with the Captain's Report. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the shallows. That's Carson. I'm Eric. And this is your Captain's Report. Injuries and other news. First up here, James Wood, much to my chagrin, to the 10-day IL with a strained oblique. They're calling it mild, but it is an oblique. It could take God knows how long for him to come back. Hopefully sooner rather than later. He has been a top three fantasy performer this season. Nick Kurtz to the 10-day IL with a sprained thumb. And Carson, I have to suspect that this thumb issue, which my wife is an OT, and so she knows hand stuff. The thing that I read, basically he tore like something down here, which is not fun. I have to imagine his poor performance in recent weeks from Nick Kurtz has to do with this thumb injury.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that I think I was looking at dates back, the injury to the tail end of July. It might have been a lingering thing. Of course, sometimes with these hitters, they are streaky. Nick Kurtz does fit that mold. But yeah, you do have to suspect with a player of that caliber does go on a cool streak, it is injury related to some extent.
Yeah, hopefully Nick Kurtz does get back sooner rather than later, but I anticipate he's probably going to be out like a month, man. This is not cool.
Audio listeners, he's touching the base and the side of his, like, below the actual thumb.
Yeah, it's kind of where your thumb meets your hand. Think of it that way. Like, your fingers all have three sections. Your thumb's third section is kind of in your palm area. Like, yeah, that's kind of where he tore it. Not cool, not fun. This is an interesting one. Hunter Green back to the injured list after just five starts, 15-day IL with elbow soreness. And if I read correctly, it's not his throwing elbow. What, did he sleep wrong?
Youch. It says, I think I see right elbow soreness.
Okay,
so rings already. So I think it is that.
Okay, it is his throwing arm. Then what I read is a lie.
Wouldn't that be funny if it was his left elbow somehow? Questions would have to be asked and answered. This sucks for Hunter Green, though. Obviously, bone spurs earlier in the year. You'll think maybe it's something related to that. Who knows? We only have the minor details. Nevertheless, though, Hunter Green, season to forget.
Yep, absolutely. The long term, I know he's not very old. What is he, 26, 27? Long term, Hunter Green, I think, ends up in the bullpen. What do you think?
Oh, don't say that. What the heck?
No. I know. I don't like it, but his body just can't seem to hold up.
I mean, we've seen players like this before, and it just hasn't seemed to matter. If they can get value out of him as starting pitcher 20 starts a year, it's better than him being in the bullpen.
That's true.
Nah, Green is a starter until it's shown otherwise, in my opinion.
Fair enough. Also to the 15-day IL, that means it's a pitcher. Treya Savage with left knee inflammation. Not fun. That's his landing leg. Hopefully a speedy recovery for Treya Savage. Hasn't had the best season, especially after last year's postseason, but what is your long-term outlook on your Savage? Has it changed at all based on his results this year?
Yeah, it has. Yosavage has been a bizarre pitcher. He's gotten a lot of whiffs, a lot of strikeouts, and a lot of weird locations. A lot of modeling stuff is either not terribly favorable, lukewarm on him, or just downright disparaging. For Treya Savage, I am totally up in the air. I think in two seasons' time, he may be completely out of the majors. Two seasons' time, he may be a fixture of the Blue Jays rotation. He's still super young. Any command control issues can be ironed out. But I'm very much up in the air with the Savage's future.
Fair enough. Hopefully he is not Alek Manoah. Uh-huh. To talk about a Blue Jay pitcher who just kind of fell off the face of the earth. I think he's in the Angels minor league system now.
Got released.
Because it was so terrible. Hopefully you have, if you're in some sort of dynasty league, let go of Alek Manoah a long time ago. Top performers of the week. Oh, sorry. One more injury news. Jackson Jobe is returning for Detroit this week. Any interest?
No, not for shallow leagues. Good pitcher, but good pitcher maybe. We haven't seen anything. Obviously, right. Former top prospect, but the cup of coffee he has had in the majors wasn't terribly exciting. There was some spring training buzz around his fastball and touching 102, but that's effectively a bullpen session in spring training sometimes. A guy trying to make the team, what have you. We're a year away from surgery, I don't know. Who knows? We'll see.
Yeah, I also don't know how deep into games Detroit's going to let him go now that they literally sold everybody off except Justin Verlander.
Two players off. Yeah, two players from the rotation, but
big deal.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Although, quietly, Detroit does have three of the better young players in baseball between Dylan Shuler and Kevin McGonigal and Riley Green. And I think it's hilarious that they're going on a win streak now. And the AL Central is very much up in the air still for them. I mean, there's a non-zero chance the Tigers just turn around and win the division.
I know. Yeah, that division is super duper close. You tweeted out, I think, a picture of the standings. And yeah, it was it's It's very, very close. Okay, moving on. Top performers of the week. Sedan Rafaela, 12 for 26, four homers, two stolen bases. Personally, I think Rafael will be somebody overdrafted next year based on his production this season and what we've seen from him in the past. Next up here is Yainier Diaz, showing some signs of life. 12 for 22 with two homers. If you need a catcher, are you picking up Yainier Diaz?
Yeah, dude, he's been really good over the last few weeks, even. Just really excellent. And as we've talked about a few times, the catcher position has had a great deal of variability in how dependable it is. And right now it is not very.
That is absolutely true. Next up on the list here, I'm going to jump one and then go back to him, Carson. But next up, I have Brian Baker, four saves. No earned runs. He has been excellent. What a find for Tampa Bay. Not that he wasn't a good reliever beforehand for Baltimore, but this year he's been great. And I don't think he's given up a run in a very long time, a month plus, if I'm not mistaken. All right, but this is the gem here of the top performers of the last week and really over the last month and a half, basically. And that is Gavin Williams went 5 2/3 innings, no earned runs, one hit, 10 Ks. That makes how many games in a row of 10 plus strikeouts, Carson?
What were you saying before the show? Is it three?
Five.
Five. Yeah.
I think he figured it out. I think I just blanked on the name that Nick calls him. Cherry bomb. I think the cherry bomb nature of Gavin Williams is kind of dissipated for this season. I think he's a big boy, right? He's 6'6", 250, big guy, very big guy. So maybe it takes somebody like that big to just, figure it out just a little bit longer than most normal size human beings, because he is a large size human being. Gavin Williams has done excellent work in Cleveland this season. And then, of course, you had to do this to me.
I mean, he did it to you.
He's doing it to everybody. Carson, why don't you read this one?
I would love to. I would love to, Eric. Pete Crow Armstrong, who we still have a short on the pitcherless page of us saying not to draft him. Pete Crow Armstrong is running away. Pete Crow Armstrong is running away with the MVP, folks. He has, as we're recording this on a Wednesday, a two-homer game against the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing his total to 26 on the year with, I believe, 28 stolen bases. And he is pairing that with hitting about over 280, largely due to great BABIP, but also largely because of better swing decisions. His walk rate's been a lot better. He's doing more damage per swing, basically. And oh yeah, he's combining this with not just good defense, not just elite defense, but defense we have only seen from a handful of players in the history of Major League Baseball. Andrew Jones, Willie Mays, the absolute very best seasons in the corner outfield from Barry Bonds. I mean, we're talking the very best defensive players of all time. Pete Crow Armstrong is putting up a platinum, superb level of center field play. And I was just checking this, Eric. He is at 7.5 WAR before it updates. He's likely going to be closing in on 8. That is already in the top 10 performances by a position player since integration for the Chicago Cubs. And oh yeah, we still got 2 months to go of the season.
Yeah. All right. He's been great.
You can't do this now. You can't keep doing this.
I'm just going to say, if you can sell him before your trade deadline, you can get a lot back.
Sure, sure. Okay.
Okay? Because his XBA is 30 points below his batting average. His X-slug is 60 points below his slugging percentage. And his X-WOBA is 30 points below his WOBA that was before today. I'm just saying.
You're one of the fastest players in baseball.
I know. I'm just saying, like, predictive stats, if you want to use the same methodology to evaluate every single player, I'm not saying he hasn't improved. He very clearly has. He's cut his swing percentage down by like 10%, which like you said, he's making better swing decisions. But if I'm looking at predictability and the predictive stats that I look at for everybody, he's overperforming. Just saying.
Sure, a bit, but like... Yes.
Just a little. Yes, very true.
He's 24.
I know. That being said, he's going to go 30-30 easily. Okay. And
he might go 40-40.
I know he might go 40-40. Shh, don't say it. Don't say it again, but it might happen. Look, he's having a great year. All right.
Eric, you're downplaying this. This is one of the years. Like, I mean, I think we got to realize, like, this is, we'll see how the next 2 months goes. It may flounder at the plate. He might get hurt. You know, things happen. This is one of the greatest seasons in baseball history. Or at least it's facing to be. I mean, seriously, I mean, he's doing this with the defense he's had. I mean, that's been one of the things. I talked to you about this at the same point last year. He is outpacing Aaron Judge from last year in Fangraphs WAR by about a whole win above replacement. That's because his outs above average is, I think, like 24.
Yeah, he's a phenomenal fielder. I'll give him that. I never took that away from him.
I know it's a fantasy baseball podcast, but like it's also the kind of thing that's like he is going to be in the lineup every single day because that glove is so ridiculously valuable, and he's just proving to be durable. He's proving to be a tremendous hitter. Folks, it's a season to remember for a while for P. Crow Armstrong.
I'm gonna do it one more time. I'm going to do it one more time, Carson. Don't get mad at me. Remember when Cal Raleigh was an MVP candidate last year? I'm just saying, guys fall off. It happens. Sell P. Crow Armstrong. I'm going to go down on that sinking ship.
You already are down.
I know.
You're a body washed ashore.
I have a straw
ashore,
above
Eric.
Water breathing.
I think it's in the fishes.
Hey, at least it's shallow water. All right, when we come back, it's the Trading Post, our trade deadline extravaganza. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Shallows. That's Carson. I'm Eric. And this is the Trading Post, our trade deadline extravaganza. I tried to do like an echoey thing. I don't know. Anyway, we're going to start with the top three biggest trades as the trade deadline for Major League Baseball was on Monday, August 3rd. Today, we're recording this on Wednesday, August 5th, and your fantasy trade deadlines might be coming up by the time you listen to this, okay? So, we're just going to kind of evaluate the trades that have happened in real-life baseball and how they may affect fantasy baseball. First up, I mean, God knows how many times we talked about this. It was a foregone conclusion in March, dare I say February, Tarek Skubal to the Dodgers. Now, I think based on some other trades that were made, some people have an issue with the Tigers' return. And I think that is the biggest fantasy actionable thing to have happened in this deal. Carson, break it down for us.
Yeah, so the Tigers got River Ryan, Brady Smith, and Zaire Hope for Tarek Skubal. Let's cut down to brass tacks. First and foremost, the Los Angeles Dodgers are getting one of the best pitchers in baseball. In terms of fantasy, there's two things, and I think there's a really good piece of analysis I saw. Number one, his probability of getting wins is going to go up a lot. That is obvious. Dodgers are, although they are in like a six-game losing streak.
Yeah, they lost their six-game in a row,
which is really funny. Yeah. But nevertheless, much higher chance of getting a win with the Dodgers than the Tigers. And also, the other thing on the flip side of that is it's very likely that Skubal is going to have very few two-start weeks as the Dodgers have run a kind of varied rotation and they have got a lot of arms and players coming back with, you know, Glasnow, Snell, what have you. So Skubal is going to be more effective per start very likely, but is also going to be not having two-start weeks. For the return for the Tigers, this isn't going to be as much fantasy-oriented as much as it is real-life baseball-oriented. They get River Ryan, Brady Smith, and Zaire Hope. Zaire Hope, top 25 prospect on MLB Pipeline. He's the fifth ranked players in the Dodger system, which is crazy. But I mean, the fifth or the fourth, I forget which. But
No, I think it's the fifth.
I think it is the fifth. But he's a really good player, toolsy player. I'm not the biggest prospect head outside of like my team system, so forgive my lack of deep analysis, as you know. That's why I host this pod. But they do also get River Ryan, who is a very intriguing pitcher, very old for a prospect. I think he's about 27, going on 28. But Ryan does have really electric stuff in that very torn up arm of his. Nick on the site, he is over the moon about River Ryan. He thinks he's a very excellent prospect. If you look at the list, they rate him very highly. I'm more of a like, let's wait and see before we sell the house for him. But depending on your perspective, I think this is solid. Over, and Brady Smith is a decent prospect in his own right. Overall, I think we got to realize this is for 2 months of Tarek Skubal, more like 2.5 or 3 months for October. But we can't expect an absolute Juan Soto level haul for 2 months of a pitcher. And they're getting two top 100 prospects, one top 30 prospect, in returns for what's, and it's going to end up being about seven starts, eight.
That's pretty crazy when you put it in that context. 7-8 starts in the regular season, and then maybe, you know, yeah, add in 3-4 in the postseason. Yeah, that's pretty,
if you're lucky.
That's pretty crazy. Yeah, exactly.
You're at max seeing like 12 starts from Tarek Skubal in a Dodger uniform this year.
That's, yeah. I think people are just mad because like the Dodgers got him also. You know, but I said as I introed the trade, it was a foregone conclusion. They have better prospects than everybody else.
I was thinking about this. Yeah, I was thinking about like people were talking about why didn't the Brewers or the Rays? If you're the Brewers and you call up the Tigers and you say, hey, what do you want for Tarek Skubal? If they are asking for, I mean, Jesus Mate is just a straight no, and they're hanging up the phone and blocking right. the number. And if it is Luis Pena, you're also probably straight hanging up because that's a really a high ranking prospect. That's your number two. And they're probably 18th
overall
more.
On MLB.
Yeah, that's lines. And yeah. Dare I say, personally, I think he should be higher. But I like these are really elite core guys. It's hard to part with. That's sort of your future. And you can also play the other things about how much that valuation is relative to your team and expectations of breaking into the roster or what have you. How likely is that Zahir Hope plays meaningful innings for the Dodgers anytime soon? You know, you got to beat out a lot of guys to get there. Change that to the Brewers. I think that's a little easier. Overall, I think the Tigers did totally fine. We'll see in a few years, but I think initial reactions are fine. Whatever.
Yeah. It look, it is what it is. I like the context that you put it in, that it's, you know, maybe seven starts.
They burned of one of them already and they lost.
Yeah, they did. They did. That was last night, I think on Tuesday, if I'm not mistaken. All right. Next up here, Casey. Oh, I'm sorry. How did I skip that? It's in bold, Carson. Where are my eyes looking? Adley Rutschman to the Red Sox. Okay. Oh, now, this is one of the crazier trades I think I've seen in recent history. I think the Red Sox gave up more for Adley Rutschman than the Tigers got back for Tarek Skubal.
Oh yeah,
break
absolutely.
It down for us. Break it down.
It is basically the I remember correctly. It's the second, fourth, fifth, and I want to say eighth prospects in the Red Sox system. I know I at least have some of those numbers right. It is a lot of top players. Kyson Witherspoon, Evan, Anthony Anson, Andy Azokar, Harold Rivas, and also Carlos Novaez, and a player to be named later or cash. Oh boy, it's a lot. it's a lot. For Adley Rutschman, who has had kind of a nice bounce back season, I will give credit where it's due. You kind of called that he would be maybe a name to look out for. He's been really solid. Adley Rutschman used to be one of the premier players in baseball, and he's had his stock kind of flounder a bit. It's recovered, and he's on his way out. I think he's still a great player. I think he's a really excellent just kind of got baseball guy. I feel like in real life baseball terms for fantasy purposes, you're bringing in, it doesn't really matter that much. He's a switch hitter. You bring a switch hitter to Fenway, you know, he's probably going to have a little more success on the right hand side of the plate, but that does, you know, whatever. You are getting Adley Rutschman for a year and a half, as opposed
and
to
that's why months. More was given up than just right. the school people.
Right. But, it's a lot. It's a lot. For Adley Rutschman, who has been good, but not, you know, the player he was a few years ago. Prospects are always weird. And I go back and forth on whether it's really good to buy major league talent or whether it's good to hold on and develop. The Red Sox have done a decent job at developing prospects. You know, it's kind of come and gone. On one hand, you got your Roman Anthony. On your other hand, your Marcel Myers, who's had some weird rumors about him anyway. But
he was traded. He was traded to San Francisco.
Yeah. Adley Rutschman, this is a crazy trade. Wild trade.
Yeah. Do you think when healthy, because he's had the wrist problem, which I think is kind of weird that, you know, the Red Sox trade for Curtis Meade, breaks his wrist first game. Trade for Adley Rutschman, he's got the wrist injury. Roman Anthony's got the thing with the finger. Like, so, something's going on in Beantown with hands. But do you think when healthy, if you equated a healthy Adley in Baltimore and a healthy Adley in Boston, do you think this is an upgrade for Adley Rutschman?
Yeah, it's a slight upgrade. I mean, you're going from a really deep left field wall in Baltimore to the shortest left field wall in Fenway. I think that's generally better for him. I think he's going to be batting in a stronger lineup with a similar lineup position. Overall, though, I think this is not terribly impactful for Adley Rutschman's stocks. I don't think it's going to affect things too much either way. But if I think if you're an owner, you're reasonably pleased.
Yeah, he's just got to stay healthy. That's something that he's had trouble doing in recent history. All right, next up here, Luis Arraez to the Phillies. This is an interesting one because now they seem to have a bit of a logjam in the infield. But also, this has to do wonders for his fantasy value, and he's been a top 100 player this season.
Yeah, weirdly great breakout year for Luis Arraez. Kind of second breakout. Yeah, I don't really know what to make of it. The thing about Luis Arraez is, as he's playing currently right now, slotted in at second base. So here's your answer to where is everyone going to play? Bryce Harper in right field, Luis Arraez at second base, Alec Boehm first. That's like the look we get as the Phillies in the Phillies infield. We'll see how that goes on with things. Overall, though, Luis Arraez has been great this year. Overperforming at the plate, but still having like a borderline career year offensively. The big thing is the defense. He's been stellar. That's not fantasy relevant, but it is going to, it like he's been one of the best players in baseball this year.
Yeah, no, I think the defense thing matters because he had a reputation for not being the best defender for a little bit.
Yeah.
And that kind of got him moved off of second base. And I believe it was one of the reasons why the Yankees didn't trade for him a couple years ago, because they were worried about his defense. The Yankees worried about people playing defense. That's a new one. But yeah, I think it's part of what makes this a good fit is that he can go to second base, and it keeps the other players on the Phillies in the infield pretty fantasy relevant. And Bryce Harper's going to get outfield eligibility, which could matter because first base is super deep and outfield has a ton of injuries. All right, moving on here. Those were the three biggest trades. Scooble to the Dodgers, Rutschman to the Red Sox, and Arraez to the Phillies. Now we have kind of like the leftovers. They're not really leftovers, but these are players that are shallow league relevant that were traded in the real-life fantasy, in the real-life baseball trade deadline. So in fantasy, though, does it change their value? Does it change their outlook rest of season? And first up, we've got a couple pitchers. We've got Casey Mize to San Diego and Kevin Gausman to the Cubs. Carson?
Casey Mize to San Diego. Casey Mize has been way better than you thought he has been. I don't care what you thought he's been. He's just been great. It also is definitely a facade. I like Casey Mize. I've liked him for a while, but he's not like a 2.5 ERA pitcher or whatever he has right now. San Diego, he goes into an okay defense, I think. I haven't looked at the team defense standings in a while. You may have to check me on that. But I don't think it affects his value too much. Maybe a little bit of a vote of confidence. They got a lot for Casey Mize, actually, the Tigers did, which is nuts. Kevin Gausman to the Cubs. Kevin Gausman has kind of been sputtering ever since his first two starts of the year. He goes to a much better defense with the Cubs, which is really nice, but Gausman isn't really a ground ball pitcher. So the, he's basically just going to be depending on the MVP in center field to help him out. But probably nice for Gausman. We'll see how he does.
I think it's an upgrade for Gausman. For Casey Mize, career high 12.1% swinging strike rate. Ball's kind of dead in San Diego, but he's coming from Detroit, which is a massive outfield, far fences. You know, so I don't know if it's much change for Mize so much as I think an upgrade for Gausman. And I do think that you should see slightly better days ahead for Kevin Gausman. He's really hard to move at this deadline because he's had such a bad season. So I think if you're a Kevin Gausman owner, you're kind of stuck with him rest of season. So you're just going to kind of, unless you're going to sell on pennies on the dollar, because you probably drafted him higher than what you're going to get in return. So I would just kind of, I would expect better days, but you're not going to get ace level Gausman. You're going to get, you know, maybe fifth or sixth starter fantasy Gausman. All right, moving on here. Next up, we've got Luis Garcia Jr. to the Yankees and Jeff Hoffman to the Minnesota Twins. Why are these two paired together? I don't know.
Eric, how about you take your guy?
All right, I'll take my guy. Love it. Homered in his first game, which is great, but just what we needed, another left-handed hitting player. Who plays first base and DHs? Oh, my goodness. We don't have enough of those already. I think it's really good for now. Is he going to play anywhere but first base? Because guess what? Ben Rice is at first base against righties. And even if he's in the lineup against lefties. So even if he doesn't play first base, then Paul Goldschmidt is at first base. So you're going to put Luis Garcia Jr. at first base, or you're going to put him at second base instead of Jazz? But that's against the lefty, and Garcia doesn't hit lefties very well. So this move is very curious. Thanks, Cashman. But, you know, he homered in his first game. Where's he going to play when Stanton, if Stanton comes back? Or
Stanton's not coming back, Eric. You know this.
Low-key, I hope he doesn't. But we need a right-handed bat! Ugh. Anyway, it's a good move for Garcia. Short porch in right field. Looks like he's turning into a different hitter than we've seen in the past. So it's a good move for now. I worry about the long-term viability of a spot in the lineup, especially if he were to go cold. And again, he does not hit lefties very well. Over to you for Jeff Hoffman.
Jeff Hoffman to the Minnesota Twins in a interesting move, a move that I personally really like. I've been bullish on Jeff Hoffman for a while. I like him a lot. I think he is way better. Well, now it's like a month and a half past the hype on like, oh, well, his bounce back is going to be tremendous. And yeah, it has been. The things have evened out as we predicted. Hoffman's good. Hoffman is going to get a chance probably to have the closer role, which he lost, of course, in Toronto. He goes to a Minnesota bullpen that has been very weak. I like this a lot for the Twins. I don't need to get into the prospect weeds of things here, but overall, yeah, thumb up for me.
Yeah, I really like it too. I like Jeff Hoffman being back in a closer role. I liked him coming into the season, and I'll say it, like I've said it multiple times this season, he said he was going to do the thing, that he didn't do the thing, and he wasn't good. Then he started doing the thing, and now he's good again. Do the thing. Throw the slider. Or don't throw, whatever it is. I can't remember. It was months ago. However, he's been great for a while now. So if you need a closer, he's still somehow out there. Like, more people have gone after Luke Weaver, and that wasn't as obvious as a fit in the closer role. But, man, like, go get Jeff Hoffman if you need a closer. All right, moving on here. Speaking of closers, speaking of Luke Weaver, here he is, Luke Weaver to Pittsburgh. Is he the closer in Pittsburgh, or is it Gregory Soto? Or are they going to play matchups lefty-righty?
I feel like this is a matchups kind of thing, right? Luke Weaver, solid pitcher, solid guy, but this is definitely someone that they're going to prioritize the handedness as need be.
Yeah, and they acquired Camilo Duvall as well, and I know a lot of people were speculating, oh, if he can get it together, he'll, you know, he's got a chance at save. No, Camilo Duvall, I'm sorry, he's not very good. I watched him for a year on the Yankees. He's not good. The ball moves a lot, but people can hit it. It's not very deceptive, which is pretty crazy. All right, Luke Weaver, Pittsburgh, might be the closer. Timeshare again, if you need somebody, you can pick them up. All right, over to Toronto. They traded away one ground ball guy, I guess. Gossman's not really a ground ball guy, but they got Jose Soriano from the Angels. someone got freed from Los Angeles, Angels of Anaheim. Not the guys we wanted freed, but some were. And that is Jose Soriano to Toronto. Outlook here, rest of season. I mean, it's got to improve, right? Because it's not the Angels.
I'm so sad that the Cubs didn't get him.
Oh, I know. I know you were really
so for that. Sad it wasn't the Cubs that got him. But nevertheless, yeah, it's good for Jose Soriano.
Yeah, it is. All right. Next up here, he got shelled yesterday, but you know, it was Coors. Freddie Peralta to Tampa Bay. Carson, you're shaking your head no for all you listeners out there that can't see it. And the hat managed to stay on, which is impressive. So
it's a well-fitting hat, you know.
It's a nice hat.
One of the reasons why. Thank you very much.
Freddie Peralta to Tampa. Peralta, everyone,
At some point, I think you just got to say, write the year off. I don't know if we can just be sitting on the porch expecting the ace to come back home. I don't think it's happening. He's an ERA north of 5, y'all.
Yeah, he's been terrible this year. Terrible.
One of the things about the Shallows is that we don't have to necessarily wait and like pray on these come back to form. We can just say it's not happening. Yeah, and you know what? If it does, credit to those who held on and had more patience than I do. But
picked him up off the wire after you dropped him. Because if you do that, if you drop Freddie Peralta right now and somebody says, "Ooh, I'm just going to pick him up before he has like a good start or two, and then he's great rest of season," they obviously knew something that nobody else did. Or they work in the Rays front office. Next up, Joe Adell to Cleveland. Hashtag free Joe Adell. He's been freed. Joe Adell feels like he's 34 years old. He's not. He's still in his mid-20s. He's been around for so long. He was a top prospect at like 18. Thoughts on Joe Adell being freed from the Angels?
I'm remembering that Joe Adell had a 37 home run season last year, which is crazy.
He did.
I knew it was a lot, but I forgot it was that much. And yet, still not terribly effective. Joe Adell is, for all intents and purposes, not fantasy relevant for what we're talking about. Decent player. Surprisingly high amount of RBI. But I think that Adell is someone that just, you know, he's fine. He's fine. He doesn't offer enough stolen bases. He doesn't hit enough for average. And the power is decent, but there's a lot of ways you can get power in shallow leagues.
You know what's crazy to me? I think Cleveland has a type. Everyone talks about Milwaukee having a type, but Cleveland has a type too. Joe Adell fits the mold. Jonkenzie Noel fits the mold. And then there was a guy, and I can't remember his name, that they acquired from the Padres a couple years ago, who also fits the exact same mold. Lots of strikeouts, home run, doesn't really walk.
Just big, yeah.
Yeah, I'm blanking on the name of that player.
They got that guy. Yep.
Yeah, they have a type when they look for power to support J-Ram, who also, by the way, we did not put in the injury news, missed yesterday with inflammation in his surgically repaired hand from that hamate bone fracture. Not good. Don't like it. Also out of the lineup today. Carson, yesterday was not a great day for my fantasy teams. I lost like 6 different players to injuries yesterday. It was rough. But what isn't rough, I think, is the last player here on the list of our trade deadline extravaganza, and that is Dustin May to the Milwaukee Brewers. Now, St. Louis has some devil magic that they work with pitchers, but Milwaukee has some devil wizardry that they work. So, do you like this move for Dustin May?
I think Dustin May has been good. I do. How good will he be? Obviously, we shall see. Generally, I am a believer in him, though. Throws hard, has some nice stuff, and has been able to piece things together generally this year. Pitchers that have been traded to the Red Sox and then subsequently have found their way to Milwaukee have fared well before. And so I'm hoping we will see that again.
Fair enough. The player that immediately comes to mind was activated off the IL today and starting. So by the time you get to Friday, you know who it is. It's Kyle Harrison.
I don't know if there's another one.
There probably is. There's got to be. You know, we're going to find that out.
At the break, we'll think about it.
At the break, which we're going to take right now. And when we come back, it's breakout or fake out. And we're going to tell you who else has been moved from Boston to Milwaukee in some circuitous fashion. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Shallows. I'm Eric. That's Carson. And this is breakout or fake out. But before we get underway there, we promised you we were going to look up a list of pitchers that have gone from the Red Sox to the Brewers in some sort of manner, not necessarily directly, but in some circuitous way. They work their way from Boston to Milwaukee. And that is quite a long list, actually, but no names of note on it whatsoever.
Best I got is Quinn Priester, who did pitch like 5 innings for the Red Sox in 2024, which, guys, I'll be honest, I totally forgot about / didn't know. But I remember him. Anyway, moving on.
That's about it. Yep. You got names on this list that are recognizable major league pitchers, but a lot of them are old. Not. or they're old. All right. So this is breakout or fake out. These players have been especially good since July, tempting managers like us and you to add them to their rosters or our rosters. Are they truly breaking out? First up, we talked about him a couple weeks ago. It's Stephen Kwan. He's hitting .409. Oh my goodness. 15 walks, 8 strikeouts, and an OPS over 1,000. I mean, we're adding him, right? Because outfield is a mess with injuries right now.
Kwan's been crazy. I was talking to Sperry, who is the editor for this, and Sperry gave me a little pat on the back a while ago saying, hey, thanks for the tip on Stephen Kwan's breakout on the First Pitch Podcast. And I'm saying, you know what? You're very welcome. I'll even do a double dip and talk about him here. Stephen Kwan's been crazy good. Whenever a guy hits around 400, you do kind of have to furrow your brow and think about if that's going to come crashing down. But we do know that this guy has a ton of contact skills. And he's been on a hot streak. I think this is a little bit of a breakout in the midseason for him. Eric, what do you think?
I would agree. I love the batting average help, especially if you're rostering certain players that are literally having the worst years of their career. Bo Bichette, Cal Raleigh, just to name a couple. Stephen Kwan's going to help you out right now. He definitely is. I just don't really buy into players like him who don't provide a ton of category juice. I understand there was a couple seasons where he did provide a little bit of juice as maybe like a fourth outfielder on your roster, but in shallow league context, where the home runs, where the stolen bases, he's going to score runs if he's back at the top of the order. The batting average is great, but there's not much else there. That's why I think he's more of an injury replacement for us at the shallow league range of roster depth. All right, next up here, Chandler Simpson, .390 batting average, another one up near 400 with 10 stolen bases. Are we adding Chandler Simpson? Talk about lack of category juice.
Yeah, well, he's got one category really juiced up, and that's stolen bases, although it's been weirdly to come and go with Chandler Simpson. Some days he's had it, some days he really hasn't. For me, this is a fake out. Looking at some of the expected stuff, at least with Stephen Kwan, when he has made a bunch of contact, it's generally been pretty solid. For me, this is Chandler Simpson getting really lucky over the span of a month and having a ton of contact. Simpson does not walk. He does not strike out. He simply puts the ball in play, and sometimes it works out. Sometimes it really doesn't. I think this has been a month or so of it working out a lot more than not. And the stolen bases, Simpson weirdly hasn't been that good at stealing bases. He's been prolific reasonably, but in terms of like the ratio of success to caught stealing has not been fantastic. I think this is a fake out.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Again, another guy, just one category is great. Stolen bases are more ubiquitous than they used to be, so I don't like to invest in guys like that, even as an injury replacement, believe it or not. I would want to actually find somebody else. I'd go to Stephen Kwan before I would go to Chandler Simpson. All right, next up, he's having quite a streak here, and we've seen it before, but is it sustainable? Is he breaking out or faking out? Ty France, .324 batting average, 6 homers, 20 RBIs, dare I say single-handedly keeping San Diego afloat. Carson, are we interested in adding Ty France?
Well, you know what's insane, Eric? You know what's absolutely insane?
No. I don't.
This is probably the best first baseman the Padres have had in going on 15 years.
How dare you disparage Will Myers like that? Just kidding.
Eric Hosmer, Matt Carpenter.
Remember when they signed Eric Hosmer to like this 8-year massive lucrative contract? AJ Preller, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Sorry, Carson, continue.
AJ Preller makes me lose my mind. Ty France has been great, and he is having a great month. 324, 6 home runs, 20 RBI since July 1st. He's been really excellent. He is hitting decent righties and lefties. He's doing a lot. I think absolutely he is worth a add. He has just a lot of value in his game, and he's been one of the better hitters in baseball over the last month.
Yeah. If you are missing Nick Kurtz now, why not? Right? Great injury replacement there. All right. Next up, Peter Lambert, 6 starts. This is his last 6 starts, right, Carson?
Yes. This last is six all starts, since July 1st.
All since July 1st, 34 1/3 innings pitch, a 2.10 ERA, and a 1.02 whip. Breakout or fake out?
This one is so tricky because Peter Lambert has, every time I do the First Pitch podcast, Lambert seems to start, and I'm always just like, guys, I don't know about this one. And he does still do really well, and it's been a few good starts. I think this is a fake out, but I think it's a fake out. I just really do. The pitch modeling doesn't like him a lot. Then again, the walks and strikeouts have been reasonably solid over the last month, and a lot of the other metrics seem to be generally in favor of him. This one's a little up in the air. I don't think for an 8-teamer he's relevant. I think for a 10-teamer it's a maybe. And I think I don't know. This might be a guy. Maybe I'm wrong and you hold on to him, but it's your fingers on the trigger for selling him.
Yeah, I would actually try and sell him as soon as you can, which would be right now because your deadline is fast approaching. So sell Peter Lambert if you can. You probably can get a decent enough return for him. Maybe like a Shota Imanaga kind of pitcher you could get in return.
Oh, hey, speaking of.
Yeah, he pitched today. And he pitched fairly well against the Dodgers. All right, next up here, Shota Imanaga. Hey, 6 starts, 1.58 ERA, and a 1.136 whip. Breakout or fake out? Or is he just like back to where he after this like big dip that he had in the middle of the season?
Yeah, this is in the breakout tier for me, as in I think he is getting back to cooking again. Shota has one thing with him. It is that if he has runners on, it is a big issue because he will allow a home run almost inevitably. And it is a matter of if that home run is one run or three. And for Shota, he's been able to limit the hits, limit the damage. He did surrender a fair amount of hits against the Dodgers, but it's the Dodgers. He's been really good. And I think you do have to be really skeptical about him, but his whip is always going to be really solid. And the ERA has generally been pretty dang good. And if you just keep him away from the really scary starts, I think you're going to be smooth sailing.
Yeah, Shota Imanaga is back. And last up on the list here, former Minnesota Twin, which you seemed a little, before the show, you seemed a little like upset that he's not on the team anymore. That is Griffin Jacks. 6 starts, 31 2/3 innings, a 3.98 ERA, but a 24.4% K to walk ratio, which is excellent considering we were concerned about his control issues and his walk issues. Carson, Griffin Jacks, breakout or fake out?
I think it's a breakout, and I think it is, Nick agrees with me, and he's ranked very highly on the list right now. The big concern about Jacks has been two things. It's can he rein in the control? And can he go 6 innings and or past 5, what have you? Both of those, he has ticked those boxes recently. And the stuff has been there. The stuff has been there for a while. He has a gnarly sweeper, good fastball, and a lot of nice pitches in his arsenal. And he's been proving the ERA a little inflated here and there. But I think the strikeouts and walks have proven that he can be successful as a starter, and I'm fairly confident in him going forward, and I think he's worth rostering in a shallow league.
That is why we nicknamed him Griffin Fat Stacks Jacks, racking up the K-to-walk ratio. He's been great. I just wish I just wish that Tampa would just let him go. You know who? You know who was just they just let him go yesterday? Logan Henderson. He went six innings yesterday. Shocker. Love it. Now let's just let Griffin Jacks go. He's not a spring
chicken.
He's
getting there more.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe you can shed some light on this just a little bit really quickly here at the end of the segment. Griffin Jacks is 31. I understand he hasn't been a starter in a while, but he was a starter at one point in his career, I believe, in the minor leagues.
He came up as a starter, but like he hasn't been a starter since 21.
Yeah. Why is Tampa concerned about conserving his innings? Not that you just want to let him run free, but like, why not let him go 100 pitches? Why cap him at 80? Or why if it's just the end of the fifth, not let him out for the sixth, regardless of pitch? I don't understand that. He's not 24. You know? Maybe you can.
It's a ramping up kind of thing. Remember, at the start of the year, he was a reliever.
Yeah.
Like, it was a mid-season transition to being a starting pitcher, so this was kind of sort of on the fly. So I think that's a considerable part of it. He was prepping and ready in spring training to be the closer for the Rays, and then that lost him. And then I'm looking at the game logs here. In May, they were just like, hey, you want to start? So I think we're going to temper our expectations as far as the length is concerned.
Let him free. Let him run free at this point. He's made 18 starts. Let him go.
He's been doing it. He's been having normal. I'm looking at the last few. I'm trying to find the pitch counts. I know they're getting up there.
While you look at that, would you trade Peter Lambert for Griffin Jacks?
Yeah. Yeah, I would.
Would you trade Griffin Jacks for Shota Imanaga?
Yes. Okay. I like Shota the most of these three.
Yeah, that's what I figured. All right, we're going to wrap it up right there. I wish all of you the best of luck at your fantasy trade deadlines. It's probably right around now. I know most of mine are August 6th, which will have been, when you listen to this, yesterday or tomorrow at the time of recording. So I wish you all the best of luck. Hopefully you improve your rosters, or if you're looking to sell, you sell and get things that help you down the road. We'll be back next Friday with a brand new episode. To make sure you never miss an episode, please subscribe. We're available wherever you get your podcasts. And if you have a question for us to answer right here on the pod, reach out to us on social media, leave a comment on YouTube, hit us up on the PL Discord, or email us at theshallowspod@gmail.com. He's Carson Picard at Carson Picard PL on the website, formerly known as Twitter. I see you made a nice little adjustment there.
Little Prince reference, you know.
Yeah. I'm Eric Hendrickson at Eric Hinn, that's Eric with a K, on Blue Sky and Twitter, reminding you that murky waters are fine if you know how to swim. See you next time in the shallows.
Take care, guys.
Ooh, that was a nice snap.
I'm getting good at those. Yeah. Ooh. Thank you.